You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Mohamed Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and more recently, Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most successful organizations. Today, I'm delighted to speak with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, one of the world's great banks. And Mark is a McGill grad as well. Mark, thank you for joining us today.
Carl, great to see you.
Mark, tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what did your family do?
So early years, my God, unfortunately, they're seeming farther and farther away as time accelerates. Early years, I'm really a Montrealer through and through. Lived in Beaconsfield throughout my younger years. And then my parents, my dad worked for CIL, which was a large company that no longer is an independent company. It was acquired by ICI, which was a large conglomerate in the UK. But he got seconded to Europe and actually Northern London, to a place called Middlesbrough, which I think began kicking our whole family into believing that the world is a big place and to go see it. So at 16, I was then on the road, so to speak, going to BCS in Lenoxville, and then on to Dalhousie for 1 year. And then I had the great fortune of going to McGill, which was a pivot point. And from that, Royal Bank of Canada for a couple of years, and then moved to Europe with my wife, and we did our MBA at IMD, which I know you know well, Carl. And from that, stayed in London for about 8 years in the banking business, majority with Morgan Stanley, then Morgan Stanley to Hong Kong for 6 years, and then Morgan Stanley to New York. And I've been in New York now for what is almost 20 years. So it's been a great, great journey.
So you're over 40 now, if I add my numbers up. So... That's interesting. So what did you learn from being a global person? Like, do you manage differently in different parts of the world? I know you're always Mark Hantho, but do you adjust your style when you're working in London, Hong Kong, and in Toronto and New York?
The places, of course you do perhaps in moderation for the different cultures you come across, but your genuine person is the person you are, and okay. You can't really move that to the hard to the left or hard to the right. So hopefully it works with the people I get to meet. And I've had the great fortune of, as I say, when I've been living in England, of course, it's a very different style when you're going to see a CEO or something, maybe a little bit more formal.
Yeah.
If you're going to Asia, they're maybe grateful that you've taken the time to come that far to bring the world to them. And obviously in the States, it's tell me what you can do for me. It's much more aggressive. So, and that's a generalization. I do get it. But yeah, there's different elements how you modulate, but you are who you are.
So these days you want to be an authentic leader. What does that mean to you, Mark, to be an authentic leader? 20 years ago, you're kind of, I was the IBM man. I had a white shirt, red tie. Like, you know, you could roll me out and roll someone in. You probably couldn't tell the difference. But today we want to be authentically you. What does authentically you mean to you?
I think you always are evolving. And your priorities change also. So knowing where you are in that journey is really kind of cool, because leadership requires different skills at different times. Sometimes you have to be almost autocratic, and sometimes it's just listening and letting them know that they have the answer themselves. As you get older and perhaps wiser, if there's such a thing, you realize that really it is about listening and giving some guidance from your perspective. And I think that when you engage with people to say it's you own this decision, you get better results.
So it's interesting that in the past it was more hierarchical, but with millennials and Generation Z, I mean, do you see Zs, your kids are Zs or young millennials, you have a lot of them here at Citibank. Do you see you have to manage them a bit differently?
Very much so. They, and I'm thrilled about this, frankly, they want more purpose. And not that we didn't want purpose, but it wasn't high in the agenda. We almost said, okay, you got to do your time, and then you can have your purpose.
Okay.
They want purpose now, and they want to know why they're doing what they're doing. And they aren't as fearful of actually not being employed for a period of time. Whereas as us as kids, I mean, we came from the, our parents came from the Depression and they passed it on to us, get employed, get a job, pay your bills, and stay. It's changed dramatically. I think for good, frankly. I think the hierarchical elements of it, at Citi, it's absolutely wonderful to see how it's changed. I've only been here 2 years, but it's changed dramatically with respect to engagement, understanding, listening, and actually modifying your own work style. Our CEO has truly said, okay, we are not going back to what we were pre-pandemic. We don't want to be that. And so how do you morph that, and how do you engage the younger generation to want that, and also what do they want? And so their voice is much broader today.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today I'm in New York City speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, one of the world's largest banks. iBanking, you know, Goldman Sachs has kind of calmed down, where 10, 20 years ago, iBankers, someone would sleep under their desk. You probably did it as a young person, you know, at work. Has kind of you backed off a little bit as a culture from that kind of overly work culture?
I think perhaps working smarter is a better way to say it.
Yeah.
I think the intensity is still there. It's a client service model.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly competitive. And to come up with it's not so much coming up with the best idea.
Yeah.
It's following up on the ideas that have been created with interacting with the client. So in my mind, the intensity has to be there all the time. But it doesn't mean sleeping under the desk to working smarter.
Yeah,
I mean part of the journey is engaging with technology. Technology has given us such scope to change the way we do things and to be much more efficient with the client's time. What I'm hopeful that this change comes about is people are actually not just jumping on planes and going doing ridiculous schedules like I did. And where you are embracing technology, and whether it's a Zoom or whatever, it is something that I think the way we engage today is going to be a lot more innovative, and therefore not these ridiculous hours. It's the productivity is probably going to go up because you can take on more without necessarily having to do body blows, right? To go to different places. Still, physical meetings are important, though, to be fair. I mean, you've got to build a relationship, and they need to get to know you and vice versa. So you can't just rely on technology. You do need to be in front of the client and be responsive. So intensity has to be.
For how long did you not travel outside the country? Was it like a year sort of thing?
It was bizarre because, to your point, Carl, I would be, you know, 3 or 4 times a week on a plane. Mm. It would just be the way it is. And frankly, I didn't blink at it. And then when the pandemic, obviously everyone went to where they went, I actually went back to Tremblant in Canada and ended up being there for a long period of time. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. I was working as hard as I always did or do, but it was incredibly productive from there. And but I wasn't on a plane probably for a year, right? I mean, ground transport, all that stuff, but on a plane, yeah. And it's to this day, actually, I think everyone's modulated that in a big way.
So you miss it a bit.
Yeah, I do. I mean, because I love interacting with clients and love seeing them face to face. And there's nothing, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be working on the technology side of banking, which is to say that I'm with a lot of founders, very young, that are really changing the world, truly changing the world. And whether it's on the clean tech side, which is obviously a very big topic, and there's wonderful things going on in Canada, as you know, also on that topic. But it's across the whole spectrum of people that are doing it not for money. They see a problem, a pain point, and they're solving something, and they're maniacal about it. So being able to meet a person face-to-face that is that has that type of gene pool is extraordinary, and it's really fun to work with them.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today I'm in New York City speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, one of the world's largest banks. And part of they want to meet you and say, do I trust this guy? Like, there's a sense of, yeah, okay, Mark is someone I can work with. And if you have an existing relationship, but you got to go see them sometime. Part of it, I'm saying, well, this is a boomer view of the world, so maybe you and I got it wrong. Mm-hmm. But it strikes me is that I think there's some truth to it. That it's also that it must be fun to wake up in Hong Kong open the curtains, and this is your old hometown to some degree, and you might go see some old friends. And you might walk down the street and someone goes, Mark, you know, and you know, you worked with them 25 years ago. That must be just the joy to being a global person.
Yeah, no, I agree. And by the way, that's exactly what does happen. And funny enough, whether it's Hong Kong or London or wherever else, it, you know, it's a small world at the end of the day, right? And you do get a chance to see people. And being in the business as long as I've been in the business, which is plus 20 plus years, right? Actually, we could say more than 30. You have a Rolodex of experiences, but also relationships. And those relationships, and I've been very fortunate to be at great firms along my career, you know, there's a real enjoyment of seeing each other again. And I love that.
Was there a day when it shut down? Like, what day was that when you said, we're all going home?
March 13th. And I was here in New York. And my wife Monica was up at Tremblant, and I basically made the decision that, okay, so if I'm going to be somewhere where I'm not going to be able to go to work anymore for a period of time, I might as well be at a great area that's away from all the potential problems. I had no idea the scale of what was going on. No one did. And so, yeah, so I grabbed my son and his wife and his wife's sister and my daughter Erica, which you know, and Carl. And we went north, and we ended up staying there for a period of time. It was actually wonderful. I also, one of the benefits, was my dad has a place up at Mont Tremblant, and I normally see him in aggregate 5 weeks a year, you know, in different places, and I was able to have literally 7 months with him.
Today, I'm delighted to be in New York City and speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, one of the world's largest investment banks. Should also mention he's a McGill grad. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about the investment banking industry as a whole and where it's going.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Today I'm in New York City speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank. What do you love about banking?
It's a great question. And as many times I ask, what else could I do? And, you know, there's lots of choice in life, what you could do. And if you're fortunate enough to believe that you can do other things, go do them if you'd like to. But what I like about banking is interacting with clients and solving their problems, or more importantly, listening to their problems and see if I can solve them. Sometimes they're unsolvable, right? So it's not like you just go in there and solve it, but to be with them and also, frankly, to understand what is going on in the world and these leaders that are actually, again, coming back to it, they're changing the world. The world is going to change so much in the next 10 years, more so than the last 20, and definitely more so than the last 50. 10 years from now, it's going to be completely different. And to be participating in that in whatever form, and of course, Citi being a global bank, is participating in every reach of the market, it's extraordinary.
You've met a lot of people over the years, many, many. Is there one or two leaders that stands out in your mind as, I want to be like him or her? Like, is there a couple that really stand out in your life experience?
I know this is going to be very, what's the right word?
Hokey.
Hokey, exactly. But I would start with my dad.
Okay.
As a leader, as a business leader. His ethics, his integrity, his very straightforward thinker. I remember I was at one board meeting for which people said, Hantho, where does that name come from? Someone said, I know Chuck Hantho. And then all of a sudden, for half an hour, there's a conversation around my dad, as me as an observer, about all the things that I value greatly. And having that's one person I put way up there.
Okay.
And it's been fantastic. The other, I would say, is it's in banking, again, which goes back to my Morgan Stanley days. And there was a number of leaders there that really shaped my thinking about clients and what it meant to be client-centric and what it meant to be absolutely straightforward. There's Vikram Pandit was a person actually at Rand City also for a period of time, but at the time at Morgan Stanley, he was just a great leader and a great thoughtful person that really gave you the authority to go do what you could do, and had your back. And that was a wonderful way in which I imparted that in my leadership.
You've worked at some of the great banks, World Citibank here, Morgan Stanley, Deutsche Bank.
Yep.
Are the cultures, so there's the industry culture to some degree, but are the cultures of those different because of who they are as an organization?
I think all companies have a different blend of culture. But the banks that I've been able to work with, and that's the only one I can speak to, have been maniacally focused on the client. I would not personally want to work for anything other than a bank that is thinking about the client as opposed to thinking about their own bottom line. So those experiences in each of those organizations were absolutely kind of the true north. But I would say the way they got there, the way they make decisions, was very different. And they've all evolved, right? Because so to describe Morgan Stanley today versus the time I was there, it probably isn't appropriate.
Yeah.
But I would just say that some are quicker to the decision. It may not be the right decision.
Yeah.
And some are slower. And so, you know, the American banks, I would say overall, are quicker to the decisions. And they may not be the right decisions, but they move quickly.
So, Mark, you were at Deutsche Bank for many years. Why did you leave and come over to Citibank?
Well, first and foremost, I looked at a lot of other options and coming back to what did I really want to be in this industry still? And time and time again, and with the support of my lovely wife, I said, I don't want to hang it up. I love what I do. So then I was thinking about why do I want to leave Deutsche? I didn't really want to leave Deutsche, to be fair. I basically made the judgment that from my skill set, which is very global and very equity focused, I need to be in a place that can deliver that to my clients or to the firm's clients. And Deutsche had decided to underinvest in that. So I've been talking to Citi for many, many years over time, and there's a number of personal relationships along the way. One individual in particular, Tyler Dixon, is a person that we are courting each other, so to speak, and actually competitors to each other. So a great deal of respect both ways. And when finally it was clear that the strategy was one that I wasn't going to necessarily put me in a place where I would enjoy it as much, I had to think about it.
Yeah.
And so as I went through the choices, one of the part of my DNA is global. What firm is more global than Citi? It's like, for example, in India, it's been there for 200 years, right? Think about that. Think about the decisions that were made back in the day to actually do work there. So they're very dominant in far reaches of the world, which again is something that I enjoy greatly and committed obviously to the business.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today I'm in New York City speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, one of the world's largest banks. How is investment banking done during the crisis? Was it bad times, good times, all right times?
Phenomenal. I mean, and again, this is where I'm very grounded in the fact that it's a very, to be a banker during this crisis has been, frankly, incredibly exhausting, but enjoyable on one level because you are truly solving problems right now. It's a very, you need to be at a firm that can deliver this stuff quickly. During the pandemic, the beginning of the pandemic, it was, okay, balance sheet repair, right?
Okay.
And whether it was the airlines, whether it was the shipping industry, was whatever it was, is how do we keep this infrastructure with a pulse? So a lot of conversation around how the banking group can do that, not just Citi, but other banks. But then it became this acceleration of the digital phenomena. And these companies that, frankly, were probably not going to have this impact on society for a number of years, or maybe never, all of a sudden their business plans went to the sky. And what we found with that was a huge issuance of IPOs, initial public offerings. There's a SPAC phenomena, which is these special purpose acquisition corporations that in essence came out to acquire companies that have, obviously big opportunities in front of them. So it was a wonderful time, frankly, for raising capital at valuations that were incredibly attractive. So for the banker side of the equation, incredibly busy. On the M&A side, the same thing, record M&A volumes. It's been the full employment act for the bankers. The toughest thing is to make sure you don't exhaust your human capital to a point where they just quit.
Yeah.
So trying to find that balance is extremely difficult, and it has been. It's getting better, but it was a pretty exhausting period.
Is there a war for talent here in the city, in New York?
There's a war for talent every part of the world. And I say that not to, firstly, the attraction of coming to an investment bank, there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Just that alone. There was a time when that was, obviously, if you could get that job, oh my God, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
A lot of people are thinking about life differently, as we said in the earlier point. They're not chasing this particular thing. They may want to do something in the not for profit, or they want to start their own company, and they've been told that failing is actually learning, and so they're more risk takers out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a real war for talent, and those within the investment banking side, you've got to make sure they have purpose, or else they will leave, and they'll leave to either a competitor or go to another industry. So it's constant.
So what is the purpose?
Well, the purpose from a young person's perspective,
yeah,
I hope it is to see what the senior people have been doing and want to not necessarily do exactly the same, but realize they are doing good things for society, and understand that finance is a lubricant to have a better tomorrow for the world. If they feel that and they feel the relevance, whether it's ESG, whether it's equality, all the various important soft issues, that will, I think, inspire them, plus our ability to do apprenticeship model, right? To be able to tell them and help them think through things. During the pandemic, that's been difficult. Again, when you're working remotely,
yeah,
the take a person to the side, to the water cooler, if there ever was one anymore, but to a conversation and say, hey, that was amazing what you just did. If you tweak this just a little bit, you are gonna roar. You don't have that kind of interaction during the pandemic. And that is, I think, for the younger generation, something they enjoy and something they need, and they should demand it from us.
Today, I'm delighted to be in New York City speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, one of the world's largest investment banks. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about strategy, leadership, and how investment banking is adapting to the new normal.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Today I'm in New York City speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank. How do you do strategy at Citibank? Is it largely from the CEO down, or how do you do strategy here?
Well, again, being here 2 years, I'm a beneficiary of some really good decisions.
Okay.
One, hopefully hiring me.
No, for sure.
Having some fun with that. But it's clear that the technology is taking over banking in many ways. And a lot of things that we were doing before, it no longer is the way that people transact. And so there's a whole host of things going on the consumer bank, on the commercial bank, on the corporate bank also. And then the power of data, right? To be able to serve your client with knowledge that this is where you should be spending your time. We are in constant reviewing our strategy, and in fact, I'd say probably the tactics of the strategy more than the strategy itself. But we are global, and we serve clients in a place where we can be sustainably profitable.
It's interesting because in some ways, technology may be the tail wagging the dog of strategy, but technology and AI allows us to do things we didn't know we could do. So by getting to know them, it will adjust our strategy, but we really can't do it till we understand the technology's capability. Is AI going to replace you someday, Mark?
Not in my lifetime. Because I do think that it's all very good to have data, but being able to interpret that data and then being able to put it into action, it needs that human interface. There's no way that this can be an automated world. Having said that, can we work smarter? Absolutely. Does that mean less employees? Probably not. It actually means a better experience by using technology and employing that. So I see the jobs changing, but not the opportunity.
So working from home, what did you learn about leadership from working at home? Because you'd go out there and you'd see them in Hong Kong and London and in person in New York. Now it's all on Zoom or phone calls. What did you learn about leadership during the pandemic?
I think first and foremost, it's very hard to really reach inside someone that may have wellness issues, issues of that they will not express to you, because of course everyone has to be so strong, so together in front of their bosses or whatever. So very hard to see that. And I think when you're face to face with someone or you're watching someone in a situation, in a live situation, you can see things. It's very hard to see it. So it's very hard to lead, to be honest with you. And I think you can over, I think what Citi did very well is over communicate what's going on and be very consistent also, because, and again, I thought the firm did a wonderful job in not pushing them to get back to the office immediately, because I think they understood there are health and wellness issues out there that we do not want to push them over the edge. Yeah. But as a leader, it's important to set that environment up. But it's hard to know who may have problems. And that's the frustrating part of this part of it.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today I'm in New York City speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, one of the world's largest banks. One of the biggest concerns in the world is climate change. Certainly my students believe that. Is that something the banking industry is taking on, the environment as an issue, and really thinking about and doing things?
Absolutely. And by the way, it's not lip service. It is the thing that, again, this is coming back to the younger generation. If we weren't doing it, they would not be here.
Yeah.
And how does a bank do that? Well, they put their human capital, importantly, around these issues. Transitional, like for energy companies, transitioning to a carbon footprint that is materially different. How do you do that? And taking the best and the brightest to put them in front of these various corporations around the globe. The thing that's really exciting is technology will solve this problem. What we have to do is find scale, whether it's clean hydrogen, clean steel, clean cement. How do you do all that? And back to the EV world, right?
Yeah.
And embracing that in a way that the bank can actually help accelerate that. So at Citi, they have a complete commitment to sustainability and transition. And they've actually merged a couple of the teams together to create a super team that literally deals with oil and gas in transition or with solar in transition. And the technologies, again, this is where it's great to be at a firm that actually can not be siloed, but be able to say, over here could be a real great solution to over here. And that, frankly, is something I'm engaged in a number of situations like that at the moment.
And Citibank can make money from it as well. Like, it's not, we're losing money over here because it's the right thing
it's
to do.
It's not sustainable unless it makes money. And I think that is the misnomer of ESG. It actually is a huge opportunity. Trillions of dollars are coming this way, and the banks are in the middle of it, as is other institutions. And the amount of spend that's required to literally save the world is extraordinary. It has to happen.
EDI is a huge issue at Citibank and all around the world. Most important is race and gender because of discrimination past and current. What are other forms of diversity in your mind that you look at for a team?
Well, it's a great question, and all industries I think have a long way to go, or have a way to go, and they have a plan.
Yeah.
And it's not like this is a new topic. It's just sometimes hard to attract that talent. And back to the war on talent.
Yeah.
It's brought. For example, there are many things we're doing at Citi that the town halls we have here, and they're not town halls where you're mandated to go, but the content around the conversation is authentic. It's about getting rid of bias, having people really celebrate what we are.
Yeah.
And frankly, you know, as you are aware, our CEO is a woman. Obviously, 100% by merit, but boy, does that create a great, powerful message to the world. And we have a lot of other things going on as initiatives, also on recruitment. And our recruitment, we're holding our recruitment advisors accountable to find the best talent that has that diversity and inclusion.
like mental health, I mean, since the gymnasts at the Olympics, and then there was a woman, the French tennis tournament.
And our own Price, right?
Right? And Carey Price as well. It's something where the boomers to a certain degree kind of said, oh, suck it up. And then younger people said no. And I think our opinions changed to where we now talk about mental health in a way we didn't 2 or 3 years ago.
100% agree. I love it. I really do, because it probably will help them heal faster by speaking about it, as opposed to also feeling that they're wrong, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
So, no, I think it's a wonderful change in the dialogue. And you're less fearful, I think, for reaching out for help, which is going to obviously, hopefully, create a better recovery story around mental health issues.
So how much are you at work every day here?
Absolutely not. And I say that not because I don't want to be at work every day. It's just I can be incredibly productive. And in fact, because I work in Europe and I work in Asia from New York occasionally, these hours are really kind of weird at times. So I modulate depending upon what is going on in my calendar. I'm probably in the office 2 or 3 times a week.
Okay.
Right now. Do I see it going more? Perhaps. I think what actually will happen when the world gets a little bit more stable, I'm hopeful that we'll get there soon, I'll probably be traveling a lot more. But my thinking of traveling is changed dramatically, which is to go somewhere and be there for a couple of days, not just to be there, have the meeting, and run back.
Okay.
That was the mantra. And now it's, you know, go to that place, fill your calendar up with meetings if they're relevant, but you can work from there. You can work from anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's actually a better model for me.
Today, I'm delighted speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, and a McGill grad, I must add. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about whether Mark is an introvert or extrovert and how he keeps in shape.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Today I'm in New York City with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank. So Mark, are you more of an introvert or extrovert?
I'm not sure how to answer that. It's funny. I mean, when you hear introvert, you think that must be someone who's very passive.
Yeah.
I think you can choose where you want to be in that continuum depending upon the circumstances.
Yeah.
There's sometimes you have to fill a void to kind of get that energy going. And I would say that would be an extrovert type moment. And then the other is where you're just a participant and loving it and just not being that other. So I think it depends on the facts and circumstances.
Yeah, I guess as a senior person, you don't want to dominate or you won't hear ideas. And if you come in and give your ideas right at the beginning of a meeting, like everybody goes, that's why you're a vice chairman. And so you got to listen more than you might have in the past in some ways, or a long time ago anyway.
I think that's absolutely fair. I mean, not to say you don't have anything to prove. You have something to prove every day. You've got to come with your game and do what you do. But I think it's fair to say that you do want to... I benefit greatly from other people's thinking. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because there are some seriously smart people at Citi and you know, again, with clients. So I would say that I'm a good listener, and then I convert that into an energy that I think is relevant at the right time.
How do you keep in shape?
That's a great question. I think the pandemic has had I think, a surge of being in shape, and then all of a sudden you kind of fall back into your old ways. So I think it's a work in progress, I would say.
But I mean, do you go to the gym every day?
I mean, actually, it's very funny. Thankfully, my wife Monica is one very big into eating well, which is important, and importantly, she is very active. So she's always doing something in the exercise field.
Yeah.
So she, in essence, in the funny way, guilts me into doing things, which is a wonderful thing because I need to do it. So I would say probably 3 times a week I'm doing something very active, but not enough. I've got to do more.
How long did it take for you to feel comfortable at Citibank after leaving Deutsche Bank? Like, you've been here for about 2 years. Is it a matter of weeks or months, or is it a year or two to get really comfortable?
I knew a lot of people at City already. Obviously, coming over, it was eyes wide open in the sense of knowing a lot of characters here. And they've been always a world-class firm, so a great deal of respect for the individuals as well as the organization. Like anything, when you leave another organization, you miss it. Regardless of whether or not you agree or disagree with their strategy, there are people, the personal relationships that you care deeply about. So, you know, there's a little bit of I'd call it a honeymoon period of change, but you also are reflecting on who you left. Yeah. And so that period, I can't really say whether it's 3 months or not, and the pandemic jumping in between it, kind of creates a little bit more noise in the channel. But I would say incredibly welcoming, and a culture that that really, if you look at the City folks, they have been here many, many years, and they are very proud of this organization. Yeah. So I've joined a group that really is proud of being City, and it's been great.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today I'm in New York City speaking with Mark Hantho, Vice Chairman of Banking and Capital Markets at Citibank, one of the world's largest banks. This is very self-serving, but is it good being Canadian as you go around the world?
Very self-serving, by the way.
Yeah.
There's a joke that goes on within this organization and prior organizations I've been with that there isn't a meeting that the person doesn't figure out that I'm Canadian. And sometimes it's volunteered very quickly.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm incredibly proud Canadian.
But you don't say, hey, like they don't know when
you... No, I think I've been away in the sense of living too long to have that part of the dialect, per se. But no, they catch it every now and then with a bout or something, but it's rare.
So what book are you reading right now?
Your book.
Well, that's the right answer. So when and where are you happiest?
I'm happiest. Actually, I have to say, I really do enjoy getting up to Tremblant. It's a wonderful environment just in the surroundings. I think where I'm happiest is when I'm with my family. And again, they're very dispersed, as we went through before. Yeah. But it's and being with their people, that their significant others and our friends. So it's being with friends and seeing the world. And that's kind of my center.
What do you think is your biggest achievement and perhaps one of your bigger mistakes? We don't have time for all your mistakes.
Yes, but please.
Biggest accomplishment and perhaps your biggest failure?
Biggest accomplishment, if there is such a thing, I know it's going to sound corny, is my family.
You traveled a lot. How do you manage to be a good husband and father? And I know your wife and kids, and they speak very highly of you. But how do you do that with travel and a demanding work? So what are your secrets of work-life integration and your better moments?
I think, and I'd love to hear what my kids would say, but in essence, a very positive disposition about everything as much as you can be, right? Mm. And more than just glass half full, but just keeping the energy high and trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
I've had the good fortune of working with a number of institutions, coming back to things you're really proud of.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're your biggest successes, but how you spend your time is something about who you are. And for example, for the past 15 years plus, I've been involved in I don't call it a charity, an institution called Right to Play, which is play-based learning, which has 2.5 million children that would know otherwise not necessarily be in school or be learning. This next generation, we have to invest in this. That fills my soul.
Yeah.
So, getting the biggest IPO, whatever it was, one of my great successes was working with the great management team at Alibaba, which I hold dear. Great successes in being that. But I would say the institution gave me that opportunity.
Yeah.
But when I think about the decisions I had to make around my person and what I've been doing, it's family and the other stuff that mattered to the world.
You and I are over 55 now, if I could be so bold. How do you stay today's rather than yesterday's person?
I'm a little bit more fortunate, I think, by virtue of the place that I sit in from a business perspective, which is dealing with technology companies around the globe. So therefore, you have to be current. And whether it's on social media side, whether it's dealing with, again, very interesting things on the ESG side, whether it's, the technologies that are coming, the firm is so relevant to them that we're in those dialogues. So you, in essence, it's kind of a bit of a circular ecosystem you live in, which you just get smarter and smarter, hopefully. along the way. So you stay relevant.
And you're a reverse mentor by young people.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have young people you go, this is one of my reverse mentors? Or is it just more happened by just the interactions day to day?
It's more the interactions, I would say. But really listening, again, hearing what they're saying and what might be on their mind. And again, the breadth of what we have at Citi is tremendous because their voice is heard here. So you learn a lot.
This is the CEO Series. Mark, thank you for joining us today. I'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, and our show producer, Youssef Sahoni. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.